You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, very popular 1960s book by Ken Casey. When I finished reading that book, two thoughts came to mind. Is the privatization of medicine and the institutionalization of criminals as test subjects to better humankind, or rather experiment on people in horrific ways, truly a benefit to our society or a detriment to our marginalized and wounded? Second thought was, whoa, what's Nurse Ratched's origin story?
Well, if you've read that book, her origin story is misogyny. So we just cut that one.
But then there wouldn't be a Netflix series then, would there be, Nathan?
Yeah, what a shame that would be.
What a shame indeed. Number one in Canada on its debut all throughout the weekend, and I think on Monday. Ratched, the Netflix series exploring the character of Nurse Ratched in her 40s and in the 1940s. So she takes this job, application free, at a mental institution. But why? Why this particular mental institution? There's a killer living in the basement, imprisoned at this facility. Killed four priests in very gruesome, horrific Ryan Murphy fashion.
He's got that crazy psychosis where the Cape Fear soundtrack kicks in every time he commits murder.
Or every time he gets an erection.
One of the priests, by the way, is played by Hunter Parrish. And if that isn't a Ryan Murphy casting choice, I don't know what it is. Like, honestly.
The series deals with some themes from the book. The practice of medicine on criminals. The practice of medicine on people who aren't mentally unstable, but rather just depressed. Or other things that aren't any kind of an ailment, such as homosexuality. Yes, some idiots even today think that that should be treated. So it gets into a lot of that. Ryan Murphy, I know, always experiments with the themes of that kind of struggle in a lot of his programming. But Ratched is our main character. This is, I guess, a character study. I'm not quite sure how to examine that, which I'm glad you're all with me. Sarah Paulson playing Mildred Ratched. With me to discuss, he's from the Impotable cast, Nathan.
You want me to shit on the floor? Is that crazy enough for you?
Also, we have Frank.
Nathan, that is the least craziest thing that we saw in this show. I think we actually did see that in this show.
Hi.
Yeah.
I think there was, yeah, an occurrence. And, you know, I may think a lot of psychiatric and medical torture, I'm calling it, from the past is completely wrong, which is why I'm so glad we have Wright with us today.
Boom. How's it going, guys?
So what y'all think of the Netflix series Ratched?
Well, I got to ask, like, first of all, I was wondering, does this fall into your criteria of that genre that you coined, the occupational thriller, Bradley? Does this fall into that line? Because it is kind of like campy soap opera, and I think what makes it a campy soap opera more than anything else, is the fact that it is scored within an inch of its life, scored and designed within an inch of its life in terms of the production quality. I mean, it's like,
I never thought I could hate Bernard Herrmann music that much.
Yeah,
but boy, fucking howdy, did this entire. It's just so obnoxiously Hitchcockian, and I say that as somebody who likes Hitchcock a lot and even likes a lot of Brian De Palma films that riff on Hitchcock.
I can imagine De Palma saying, "Whoa, dude, you need to calm down with these Hitchcock references." Like, honestly,
this is like too much De Palma. That's what Ryan Murphy
and then
is.
I can see him like looking every time there's a split screen, just getting really mad.
But to answer your question, Bradley, I really love the novel One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. This show, it's unfair to compare to either of them. And that I feel like that's the best way to look at this show. But even on its own merits, it's not a great show. It's great to look at. But the more it realizes that it's great to look at, the more obnoxious it becomes with its lighting.
The more you don't want to look at it, essentially. Yeah, because yeah, when you do take away the fact, and the only connection, I don't know, maybe if there's a season two, that, you know, there will be a connection to the text. But right now there is none, except for the main character. And the only commonalities they share are, you know, the profession and her name. So it is something, it has no choice but to be, try to be something original, its own thing. And it's really not that special, and it kind of knows it's not that special, so it just goes into the grotesque, you know, as an attempt to just salvage itself.
It's interesting how that's a really interesting point, because it knows how not like that special it is, because the character originally wasn't that interesting. It's almost like the problem that the prequels had about, like, you know, it's really cool, Vader, let's talk about him when he was a boy, then see his whole journey and go to like actually becoming Darth Vader. And this way, it's funny how the show, I became way more invested in all the side characters.
Yes.
Than Nurse Ratched. Like Dr. Hanover, that actor is incredible in this show.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There was one part I definitely like teared up and started to cry, and we definitely don't want to get into spoilers because it's a very intense show. Like you guys are all saying, like, it's gross and it's really nasty at times.
At the
like,
same time, it's also really tame by Ryan Murphy standards on at some points too, which is really weird. This thing just went from, like, you know, from 0 to 60 in a lot of ways.
Ryan Murphy is trying to make his version of the show Hannibal, and he's just like, well, who is somebody who I could pick off of the AFI top villains list? Well, the shark from Jaws, Spielberg wouldn't give me the rights. Alonzo Harris from Training Day, interesting. No, let's go Nurse Ratched, because they won't let me do a Wizard of Oz series. And it's so confusing to me, just the entire conceit of the show. Because it's closer to the show Hannibal than it is to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And also, who is this for? Who really wants to see the origin story of Nurse Ratched? Like, we're all fans of the King Casey novel, like we were talking about, and the movie. But no one's been like, man, I really want to see how she got to that point. Like, if anything, you'd want to see how Jack Nicholson's character got to that point.
Right. Well, she just filled out a job application and worked her way up to be head nurse. Is that really far-fetched?
I don't know. I think it's just a curiosity factor. And I don't think anyone was... I really don't think anybody was... I mean, they shot this thing the beginning of, like, spring of 2019. So they sat on this for a little while. Because I think they like the idea more. The idea sounds more appealing than... the idea of, or then the actual practice of sitting through episodes of that idea. And that's kind of true, but I think there is a little bit of a curiosity factor. But again, I agree. I don't know who this show is for. Definitely one for me. You know, cause it's not scary really per se. It's the mystery, even as by Ryan Murphy level twists and turns, is kind of really not that twisty or, you know, turny. And
well, the mystery is completely resolved by the end of episode one, and it's the characters that are figuring out what's going on while we, the audience, were already told, which isn't terrible. You know, it's not terrible storytelling, but what did you guys think of that?
Lazy. Just, it's also, it's just like, okay, we got it. We understand what's going on now. So we're just like, we, that's what sucks about this show so much, is that we understand Nurse Ratched's like story at the end of episode one. And like, okay, hold on, guys. Now we have 7 more episodes to show you everyone else's stories. And like, oh.
I think it's the thing with with Ryan Murphy's stuff is like, you know, look at what a, where a character is in the beginning of when you first meet them and just think of the complete total opposite position they could be in. And that's where they'll be in by the time the season's ended. And, you know, I mean, he's stayed true to his, to, you know, to his technique. But I think the problem with Nurse Ratched here, and this might be because they were afraid to tamper with the character, really, you know, they're really a little bit too nervous, even though this is like an origin, you know, series, whatever.
They're pretty loose with this. Like, they just did whatever the hell they wanted.
She's such an empty figure. You know, it's not until midway through, you never know what she's, who her real alliance is, where her real alliance right. lies. Everything that that everybody else does is, you know, way more interesting. And whenever they come into contact with her, she's like, okay, yes, I agree.
I have, I've heard this criticism before of a lot of Ryan Murphy shows, at least like with American Horror Story, like, one episode, you understand the character's motivations and you understand where they're coming from and where they're going. And like, if they're a villain or if they're a hero, whatever it is, the next episode happens and they're like complete opposite, like the boom, amnesia erase. Like they just forgot who they were and they're like, everything's cool now. And it felt like this in this show, like especially with Nurse Ratched, where you're just like, where the fuck is she? Like, who is she? What is she trying to do in every single episode?
Yeah.
I think we need to talk about at least what the show has going for it as far as merits. The cast is pretty spectacular across the board.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, as Ratched, I don't think I've even said it yet. The Sarah Paulson, who doesn't turn in bad performances. But what other performances did you guys like? Nate, why don't you start with that?
I liked Vincent D'Onofrio. I mean, he fit the hammy world of the show. Sarah Paulson, who I don't think is bad in this show, I'll disagree that she gives even a remotely good performance because she's just sort of giving a Sarah Paulson performance.
I kind of agree. Like, I love her normally, but in this, she was just a little flat and she felt like she was doing an impression of someone else, but you just don't know exactly who it is.
Yeah. It worked for the trailer. It didn't work for the entire length of the series. Like, you know,
she seemed more petulant than intimidating when she'd be like, let me tell you what I'm going to do to you. Stuff.
And I like the head of the institution. What was his name again, right? You said it earlier.
Oh, John Briones.
He was really good. And
he's incredible.
I'd almost watch an entire show about his character.
Right, exactly. This is not spoiling anything, but the scene where he is diagnosing a new patient later in the series, and he's like finally getting through and he's helping that person, and then the scene that he has by himself, like realizing like, oh my God, I'm doing something, that brought me to tears a little bit, where it's like, oh my God, that sliver of goodness in that character, and I just want to see a show about this very conflicted character.
He was the only character I could hold myself onto throughout this entire runtime of the show. And then in the meantime, you have a lot of other characters whose motivations change at a dime. But
Judy Davis?
Judy Davis, yeah.
Well, Judy Davis was really sort of like clinging to that last shred of dignity that she could possibly hold on to.
It's Judy Davis and Amanda Plummer in this show. Like, it's seriously every other scene, they changed their characters.
I just really wanted to. I mean, I love their scenes together. Their little girls' night was fantastic. I thought that was hilarious. I love that. I personally really, really like Sharon Stone. She didn't have really any reason to be in this. You take her character out of this.
This could be a 4-episode series.
It's fine. I wish that
I liked how having a pet monkey was a personality for her.
I really love that. And I love what she does with that monkey. Nothing bad, kids. Nothing bad. But I love what that monkey's fate ends up being. It's pretty sweet.
Basic Instinct
3.
Yeah.
No, but I think if you had, I really wish that her character arc hadn't ended the way it did, because I could have seen her being a potential villain, or
a runner villain.
Yeah, well, yeah, for Ratchet in this, in season two, because that'd been great.
She understood the role, right? She understood it was campy and is hammy. I don't want to say it's a negative thing to be hammy or campy, so I hope I'm using those words.
Well, when you know what the show is, because the show is so damn campy.
Yeah,
it's a cartoon. It's a straight up cartoon, and it's okay to be that. It just, there was nobody to really hold on to except for the head of the institution that I just mentioned. Another thing that this show has going for itself is that it is gorgeous. The cinematography is fantastic. The set designs are amazing.
But didn't you think it was too much though, Nathan?
Oh, it is.
Didn't you think it was like overwhelming? Like
it is so overwhelming. It makes Legion look relaxed and subdued. There are scenes where a character will be feeling a mood and then the entire hallway will turn their mood. And that happens at least five times throughout the show.
This show is like having a 10-course meal and all the courses are banana splits. Like it is just that decadent and that just extravagant. And that's not really a meal. Like this really isn't even, it's not really a show ultimately.
Carry that into your final thoughts, Frank.
I really wish that, I don't know what I wish for this show. It was what I more or less expected to be. Like I said, just a little while ago, I really think that you could have taken Sharon Stone out of this and, you would have had a much more, cohesive, a series, but at the same time, you might as well just be a movie at that point because she's only in there like so many other people are in there just to fill time to stretch this out to justify 8 episodes. I don't think that this is a high point in the Ryan Murphy canon. He has this habit of casting actors that he really likes and that everybody knows from something, but he cast them.
Parrish was in there. Yeah,
he cast them specifically because he wants to watch them have scenes together. And he said that. He said, I want to watch these two actors act together. Well, great, because now we got Sarah Paulson and Cynthia Nixon talking a lot about nothing for every single episode, essentially, and not really saying anything. And this is it's happened before, and it happens here, unfortunately, too much. And usually you can forgive if the story's compelling. This one isn't compelling. It's just really not that special. The production design is so lavish, too lavish, that it just ends up working against it, and you can't really disguise your shortcomings by window dressing. And and I also gotta say, I'm not a big fan of where this show went. I think it was episode 6, and I think I messaged you guys on the channel. I was like, whoa, this just got to an uncomfortable place for me. And I really hate when that subject is explored on screen, and the way they did it I thought was just too macabre, and I love the macabre to death, but I thought, oh, this is, I'm not feeling this. This is really uncomfortable, and I think this is really perverse, even by Ryan Murphy standards. So, I think overall there might be a season two. I don't think anyone's really going to be clamoring for a season two, to be honest with you.
There is going to be a season two. It's already, you got a 2-season order before it was even started.
So what do you give this, Frank?
I'm going to give this 6 out of 10 Sharon Stones of the Monkeys.
what do you think, Wright?
I personally just hated the show. Like I really did not like any of it. I felt like I was duped at the very beginning. I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. And then it wasn't. And then I was interested in all like the side characters more and more, but then they'd either leave for whatever reasons, not to get into spoilers, but they'd either leave or they're just not focused on as much. And it's a very just messy show. And I understand that yes, the production value is really good. It looks incredible, but what doesn't work for it is that the tone of the show and the subject matter doesn't match the production value and the production design, because it is so campy, whereas it looks so good. It doesn't match those two seemingly like genres together very well, whereas like, oh, this is going to be a very like a high profile drama the way that it looks, and then it's like, someone's getting boiled alive.
I think it's like season one of Gotham.
Exactly. It's just like, what the fuck is this? And so I, watching it the entire time, I was constantly yelling at the TV. It's like, fuck you. And just hating it, like, deliciously, I guess, the way that it wants me to. I don't know. Because, again, I was, like, saying it, like, I don't know who the fuck this is for. I don't know who, like, what demographic are they really going for? Unless they're just going for, like, well, Ryan Murphy, he's done a lot of TV shows at this point. So anyone who's a fan of Ryan Murphy shows, they'll watch this show. And if that's what it is, then maybe they will like this show. I don't know for sure. I'm not a huge fan of his. I only like a couple things that he's done. But I think that there's really just like a good couple of performances. One who, oh gosh, I forget the actress's name.
Do you remember the character?
Oh, Sophie
Okonedo. Yeah. Oh, she's fantastic. Okonedo. Yeah, she's great.
She's fantastic in it. She plays someone who has a split personality disorder, and she's incredible. And John Briones, he's awesome in it. I loved him in American Crime Story, Assassination of Johnny Versace. Sarah Paulson's fine. But just again, like you were saying just a little earlier, Nathan, is like, she just does Sarah Paulson again. Like, no, what's the fucking point? So like, even earlier, we're joking. It's like, nominations, maybe. If this gets nominations, I'll be fucking surprised. Anyway, I fucking hated this show. I'll give this one limb that was sawed off out of 10.
Ooh, hurting the octopus. Yeesh. Don't feed it to the shark. It isn't your friend. Nathan.
Okay, I'm going to make this quick. If you guys like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, go. Don't collect $200. Just fucking leave. This show is not for you. If you like super campy soap operas, if you just like seeing things that look pretty but don't really have much to say, but also tackle issues that you should have stuff to say about, like mental illness, gay conversion therapy, the death penalty, so incest, so many different topics, then yeah, this show's for you. If you just want to turn your brain off and look at the screen, for me, it was watchable. I didn't absolutely despise it, but I came pretty close at sometimes to being so angry I'd rip the sink from my bathroom and throw it out the window and escape into the wild. I would give this 2.5 puppet torture porns out of 10.
Well, I'm in agreement with a lot of you. I didn't have such a harsh time because I've enjoyed watching this with my spouse. We're having good laughs. We're having good shock and horror. Like, ugh. And it does look gorgeous. And yes, the Cape Fear anthem is a score is used constantly.
And the North by Northwest one. And every Bernard Herrmann score.
And I want to be annoyed by that. I want to be like, ugh, he's just stealing the Cape Fear score. But every time it came up, I heard like the maid from that Rick and Morty episode going, Cape Fear, I'm going to do like Cape Fear. And it made me laugh. So I'm still having a fun time. I hate when two characters meet and they're like, oh, heads up, I'm in love with you unconditionally and forever. And the other one says, oh, me too. And I guess they're in love unconditionally and forever now. That happens like 4 times in this series within seconds. And it's so stupid. And I'm smiling saying that because I really like campy, hammy crap. But there's a wrong way to do it. And this does it the wrong way a lot of times. But the right ways are done by Sophie Okonedo and by Sharon Stone. And to even a lesser extent, whoever plays her brother, I'm such an idiot for not remembering.
Oh, Finn Wittrock.
Thank you. He's all over the place in this. But when there's like a difference between his I'm going to pretend to be crazy and actually something wrong with the character. And I thought that was a really subtle, brilliant performance too.
Well, his crazy is actually pretty sane for this piece, actually.
Yeah. I was like, they should have you run the asylum.
So, yeah. Anyways, didn't hate it. I'm not going to watch season 2. Please, no more is my ending of this. So I'm not going to go completely positive or completely negative. I'm just going to go 4 peaches that are my peaches out of 10.
So, guys, how many times did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest pop up on Netflix and you guys debated pressing that instead?
Not once. And I felt cheated.